Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers are facing hell on Earth as their final battle begins. Caddy tried to save Donnie Splinter but couldn't get to him in time. Red murdered Donnie in front of her feline friend, though he begged her not to, and Richter watched an eye appear in the sky as blood rain began to pour down. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
On the day doom came to Helmfirth, the sky darkened and began to rain blood. If you were looking up at the time, you would, of course, feel the light pitter-patter of liquid hitting your face before you realized that it was off, before you tasted the iron metallic tang of blood. But if you managed to squint through it and really focus, as old man Richter was that day, you could occasionally see things in the clouds, things that would drive a more sane person to the depths of insanity. But luckily or unluckily for him, old man Richter had seen some shit, and thus the occasional dark form of what could be a tentacle or a fin, and what looked through a brief cloud break like it might be the iris of a massive eye, are, you know, business as usual for your current mental state, good sir. That said, the air feels electric to you. And of course, you know that the epicenter is your home of Helmfirth. As the blood begins to rain from the skies, Caddy, you've just witnessed your old pal Tracy commit some violence, and are not doing great. I'm curious, given that you're kind of stuck with her and Richter. Where do you think, like, what is Caddy's, like, safe space right now? Like, where do you go to, like, feel better about this, knowing that, you know, there's not a whole lot of options?
His safe space has become Richter. I don't even think he'd say anything. I think he'd just go out into, like, the blood rain and jump up onto Richter's shoulder and just, like, sit next to his head.
Well, I mean, Richter would immediately infer this as an attack because this is some kind of hellish imp trying to trick us.
Amazing. All right, so Richter, go ahead and roll me a we'll go with a dodge for this.
Well, that's an 83, so I'm sure that's not going to cut the mustard. No, it's not. I had to roll under 15.
All right, Caddy, you land safely on Richter's shoulder. Richter, you attempt to grab the cat, but your blood slicked hands run through the fur as the rain begins to intensify.
Yeah, just monster. Can't quite.
And there are a lot of monsters in the sky, but you can pet me if it'll help you stay calm.
I may do that, actually. This is unlike anything I have ever seen before.
I was in a ghost tummy earlier. So this is also weird, but not necessarily bad.
This seems pretty bad. I would say raining blood is never good in any sort of measure.
Well, didn't they do that back in, like, the Moses time?
Are you referring to the story of Moses, let my people go? All of
yeah,
this,
didn't it rain blood then?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe it was quite bad when it rained blood.
I don't know. Maybe there's, like, a lot of people who are getting set free by God.
No, I believe Moses... I'm not going to have this conversation with the cat right now. Red, we need to get to Helmfirth.
Oh, okay.
Red,
do not look at the sky.
You step out into the little sort of overhang of the motel door to see Richter and Caddy sort of standing in a red rain. Honestly, it kind of matches your mood in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. This is a real, like, this matches your vibe right now, but yeah, kind of concerning.
Yeah, a little bit. She's okay. She's just gonna kind of give, like, a and just stride out into the rain, approach these two, just be goddamn 10 plagues of Egypt up in here. Get in the car, we're going. I think we have to go to the church, Richter.
It, yes, that makes sense to me. That would be a good start. Yeah.
It's Richter. Where this all started.
Yeah.
Richter, whispers Caddy. And if you look, you see Caddy, like, lean over and put a paw up as though to block his mouth from where it could be heard by Red and be like, I don't know if we should trust Tracy. She's murdering people. She's bad.
Caddy, I want you to look around you and just take a moment to kind of reflect on some of the things you have said just in the past few moments. The blood rain being good, the woman who protects us being bad.
But when did the blood rain start?
Just now.
She shot a guy right now.
I did not cause this, Adrian.
And even if she did, we would really want to be on her side, small animal.
No, you have to stop the bad things. That's what I learned from her back in the day.
And we are going to stop the bad things, Adrian. Listen to me. Some things have changed very much, and some things have not. And I promise you, we are still on the good side. Now, we need to get in the car.
So you're wait. You're telling me you've never killed a good person. You've only killed really bad people.
You kind of see her war with herself for a second when she's like, do I tell the truth or do I get us in the car? And she's going to say, of course I've never killed a good person, Adrian. Who do you think I am?
Claire, go ahead and roll me a fast talk, please.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need me to roll anything, Tom? Is this an opposed?
I mean, there's no like trusting skill.
It's just spot hidden.
Yeah.
That is a success.
Okay. Ryan, you can roll me an edu.
Okay, yeah, let's see what happens. It's a hard success.
You know that she's trying to get you out of the rain, but you can also see that her intent does seem to be virtuous in this case. So I think you're a little conflicted because it's like you can tell she's not telling you the whole truth, but it also doesn't seem like she just goes around murdering. She doesn't seem like a serial killer, which is good news. That's progress.
If you're staying on Richter, he's getting in the car.
Oh, yeah. I think he'd just ride him at this point. Yeah.
Now, I will warn you, your car is mighty fucked up from your battle with the mobsters. So you might need a new set of wheels.
Is there an empty car in the parking lot?
Unfortunately, the car in the parking lot has left. The only one that's left is there's an old classic, sort of like it's like a workmanly vehicle, but there's an old classic car out behind the manager's office.
It's Stephen King's car.
Stephen King's car, yes.
We're going to steal Stephen King's car.
Okay. Are you going to, how would you like to try and steal the car? Do you want to like go try and get the keys from the office? Do you want to try and hotwire it? What's your plan?
I don't know if I have a hot wiring skill.
Done with a mechanical repair or drive, depending on.
Yeah, it would probably be a mechanical repair at this point. Also, keep in mind that, like, you know, cars were kind of rough at that point.
Okay, then I'm going to go get the keys from Stephen King because neither of those skills are good for me.
Understood. All right, so you approach the door to find it is locked, as he did when he left and closed the blinds.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear a radio cranked up pretty loud inside. What do you do?
I'm going to shoot the lock open.
Damn, all right, no half measures.
Nope.
Level your pistol at the door. Caddy, would you be trying to help her, do you think, or are you still cagey about murder Red?
I think if he knows she's going to steal a nice man's car and then shoot at a door, he is not on team help this woman.
Yep, understood.
He would probably follow to try to prevent her from murdering Stephen King, which he would think is 50-50 possible based on her track record of shooting through doors.
Gotcha. I like that you're basically like a nice character who's shown up at the end of like an evil character playthrough of a video game, just being like, wait, what do you mean? And it's like, you don't understand. I'm Commander Shepard and everything's come down to this. And you're like, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Just any Star Trek character who ends up in a weird, hellish future state.
Yeah, it's like a virtuous Wesley Crusher appears at the finale of Nemesis. It's just like... Maybe he's nice.
Maybe make friends with Shinzon. I don't know.
He just needs a dad.
He was born in the darkness. You merely adopted it. 8 layers deep on Tom Hardy jokes. We are Venom. Okay, so you shoot the door, and inside you just hear sound of breaking glass, you boot open the door to find a small kind of well appointed office. The back window is shattered, you can see definitely not famed author Stephen King, like just fucking booking it, mm-hmm. just like running away. Which is good news for you, but bad news for him because now he's going to get rained on, which is a bummer.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. But such good material for his next 18 books, which he'll write next week. The office is small, somewhat cramped, and he's got a radio, which is the nicest thing in the office, that is cranked on. And through it, Red, you can hear the sort of dulcet tones of a radio host. It would seem that Stephen King had set his radio to an off frequency channel. So there's a lot of static. In modern times, we'd kind of recognize this as like a pirate radio station, like someone who's managed to kind of set up some gear. You can just hear an announcer saying like, well, hi there, people of Helmfirth. This is Devin Boyce, the voice. And I know I've proclaimed doom has come to our town several times, but I think this might be it, folks. Listen, I've had a lot of close calls. A lot of things have tried to kill me and I've come out the stronger, but well, it's snowing here right now. And that's not something that's too common around a blood rain. Pretty sure I saw some massive winged creatures descending on our beloved downtown, possibly hoping to do some shopping of the deadly variety. And of course, the port is just crawling with strange amphibious creatures, fish crawling out of the sea, just like they did back in the day, if the scientists are to be believed. So, folks, all I'm saying is if you believe in a higher power, the voice is suggesting that you might want to start praying. Because if that worm creature in town square has got anything to say about it, we are all well and truly. And then the radio cuts out.
Town square, Red. Not the church. We must get to the town square.
Right. We have to go right towards the giant death worm.
Yeah. No one else is armed with the knowledge and experience that we have. We have responsibility to protect Helmfirth.
Mystery punchers, yeah!
And she's going to start looking for the keys.
You find them pretty easily.
Okay.
You know, he didn't expect people to shoot off his door handle and or rob him and beat a hasty retreat. So you get the keys and you pile into the admittedly a pretty nice car. It's a bit older, but it is incredibly well maintained. Look, very at home in like, you know, Batman the Animated Series Gotham, just like a real nice kind of art deco-y car, but also Red, to your kind of joy, heavy. Like this thing is just a fucking classic heavy ass car, so you actually have a little bit of weight now in case you run into any more further troubles. Nice. You all pile into the car. There are of course no seat belts because there wouldn't be. I was on the verge of making a caddy looking for seatbelt joke and then realized no, it's not gonna happen. Richter, you're still pretty sure Caddy's a demon. Red, you realize that you're both disappointing and scaring your young friend. And Caddy, you've got one friend in the car, and you're concerned that Red might be the cause of all of this. What the fuck do you all talk about on the way to Helmfirth?
I feel like Red is driving, and both of her hands are like tight around the wheel, and her knuckles are white, and she's keeping her gaze straight ahead. But after a few couple minutes that you can tell that she's really trying to figure out what to say, like you said, what the hell do you say? She's just going to say, Caddy, I realize that this is not how you wish to be resurrected, shall we say, and I realize that this must be very confusing and frightening for you, and I apologize. This is far from ideal for me as well, but you have to understand that you have come back under egregious circumstances, and there are going to be things that happen in the next, I don't know how long, that you're not going to understand, but I promise two things, that you will and I will protect you. Does that make sense?
Can you promise you're not going to do anything bad to any good people?
I promise I'm not going to do anything bad to any good people, honey.
Are you lying?
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Dum-Dums and Dice would like to invite you to check out their flagship podcast, Dum-Dums and Dragons. It's a show where improvisers who've never roleplayed before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. It features Laura Elizabeth as the wizard Alan, Tyler Hewitt as the thief Quinny, and Ryan LaPlante as a cleric named Butthole. Through their first season, these heroes experience the minds of Phandelver, but starting in season 2, they step into a world of fully original adventures from the mind of DM Tom McGee. Follow them from the beginning of their quest through 5 more seasons and beyond. Check it out now. Dum-Dums and Dragons.
No.
Okay. Okay, so there's like a little bit of Tracy in there. We just got to try to rehabilitate the gun part of you.
We're not... That person, Adrian, is gone. She's been gone a long time, and you left with her. And you have to understand that I've been dealing with a very different you for quite a while. So we're both going to have to come to terms with who we are now.
Okay, I kind of want to split this into two things. One, but I came back, so old you could come back. And two, what was different me like?
She's genuinely trying to find the words. Big-hearted, honey.
Oh.
And protective and kind, and maybe didn't understand things as well as you could have, or you do now. But you were loved. Understand that.
Okay. Well, if you're not going to do bad things to good people, then you could still have guns, because there's clearly monsters. And he just like points up to the sky out the window. I think he's sitting on Richter's lap. Richter is just unfortunately stuck in the middle of this conversation. He's like, then you can maybe be a hero like the Shadow or whatever.
You know what, Adrian? I don't think I've ever been called a hero in my life.
Well, that's because you also killed good people. So you have to stop doing that and then you'll be a hero again.
She's going to kind of flick Richter a look in the rearview mirror like,
and you've got
that's all I got. That's all I got, bud.
And you've got a science butler, he says, and he reaches back and pets Richter's face with one hand, like one little paw.
On that note, Richter, is there anything in that head of yours that's going to help us right now?
Yeah, I was wondering when we would get to talk about the giant demonic eldritch worm emerging from
Richter,
the center of town. I was wondering
where
our priorities were on that.
I had to make sure that this one wasn't going to leap in front of anything.
See, the fun thing is Tracy's different, but you're the same.
So talk to me, Richter. What are we going to do?
Tom.
Yo.
Based on all the knowledge I have amassed over the course of this adventure and perhaps prior to this, do I know what's going on at all? Is this some sort of foretold rapture
give me
that we're looking at?
Give me some of that sweet, sweet either mythos or occult. Either one will do.
My choice? I think I'll end up choosing... Ooh, that's a really good roll regardless. Oh, where did I put my... Oh, my mythos is at 51, and I don't know what the other like tiers of it are. So I'm just going to go with occult because I've got it broken down here, because that would be an extreme success.
Extreme success. All right, cool. So, yeah, Richter, based on... reading the Necronomicon, and also I think realistically, and part of the reason I asked you if you wanted mythos or occult is I think this lives as much in your understanding of the occult as it does in your understanding of the mythos specifically. From what you know of the goal of the inheritors in the Entombed Eye and the Gotham Crown within Helmfirth, and the ley lines and kind of the town being a nexus where the fabric between kind of our world and the darker, more ancient ones beyond is somewhat thinner. It would seem that despite the various setbacks that the inheritors succeeded to some extent in their goals, which is strange. I don't think you would clock this necessarily, but it is an extreme success. It is strange given how much disruption y'all have caused to that. The mayor is dead and so is Donnie Splinter. So it's odd that this has happened. That's something you'll probably need to sort out. But, you know, history, and particularly the history of the occult, is rife with stories of people meddling and of people trying to thin the veil. So this to you seems like whatever could do that has done it, and that very likely all these sort of eldritch horrors are beginning to seep into our reality, likely drawn to Helmfirth like a beacon. From the radio program you caught from the last broadcast of The Voice, you have also heard that there are a number of strange things happening now in Helmfirth, and it would seem that everything, and weirdly, I think like there's a bit of giddiness in this for you, despite how horrific it is. But with your mental reserve worn down
for sanity. So yeah sure.
It's like, it's everything you and Benny were like, if you and Benny were like getting faint glimpses of this, it's like now it's just like in stark contrast. It's everything that you know, it's like when Will Smith learns about the Men in Black and he's just like on a street corner in New York, he's just looking around and is like, oh fuck, like everything is an alien here except those two bikers, they're just weird, but everyone else is an alien,
right?
It's like everything that was bubbling beneath the surface has risen. So the broadcast indicated a few occurrences happening throughout the town. You're not quite sure what that means yet, although there's definitely there were a couple creatures named. The worm creature is definitely a pretty clear and present danger. That said, you are rather short on information being outside of the city still. But it would seem to you that yes, this sort of plan that the Gotham Crown had for Helmfirth has succeeded, and hell is here.
Okay. I would think that Richter has the wherewithal to know that these are not forces that you fight directly. Rather, it's the rituals and things like that that you attempt to disrupt or reverse, that are bringing them here. Would I have a sense of whether the center of town, given like the structure of the ley lines, or the church would be better places to attempt to disrupt whatever is?
So the church, based on your readings of the Necronomicon and the mad ramblings of H.P. Helmfirth, is the literal nexus point. That is absolute weakest point in the Vale. Okay. It's where the Croatoan died. Yeah. It's where its blood kind of seeped into the earth. So that is likely ground zero.
And if we're going to the center of town, that's not where the church is, right? The church is on the outside of town.
The church is, it's not dead center in town. It is close to the center of town. It's not really on the edges. But the best way to think about this is like, I'm hesitant to break this down into rings, but because we don't have a map in front of us, you can kind of consider like town square, the absolute dead center of town. That's where the sort of like execution of Tallahassee happened, TJ, and sort of the massacre. Mm-hmm. I kind of like to consider the downtown strip kind of near that. So Helmfirth Curiosities and where a bunch of these other sort of shops you've been to are. It's the vision I always have in my head is, this is so dumb, but the fucking town from Jumanji. I don't know why specifically, but that town just seems like it's got all these little shops, and it's like a classic set that Hollywood uses over and over and over again for like small town where there's like the shoe factory and all this other weird shit. So similar to that. So like there's kind of the central sort of public space and then smaller areas throughout. The areas that are relevant to us for our purposes right now, based on the information you have, are the church, which is just outside the downtown strip, still sort of central, but not like dead center of town. Town square, and of course, Helmfirth Curiosities, which is off the downtown strip. The other major location that was mentioned in the broadcast was the port, but that is likely not as high a concern for you yet.
Okay. Then I would be advising Red to drive us to the church. I would say... the worm may be emerging from town square, but all signs point to the origin point, the nexus, as being the church. It is where it all began, and one way or another, and hear this on every level, Red, it is where it is going to end.
On that, we very much agree. And she's going to start driving that way.
Step on it.
Okay, so when we get there, do you guys need me to like sneak around and scout it out, or I'm good at sneaking? And he jumps and hits the roof of the car and then falls back and is like, ugh, and jumping apparently.
Adrian, you're gonna stay in the car.
Oh, you're fun. No.
If you truly are with us,
yeah,
this endeavor, is there any way you could communicate with your infernal brethren or the other creatures? Is there some way you could convince them to return to the Vale, beyond the Vale?
I mean, I don't have any brothers, but maybe if there's another cat, I could try talking to them. You guys have a cat problem?
You're not saying that he's one of these creatures, Richter.
And Richter's like looking at Red with just the same amount of dismay and shock, and it's like, is he saying that all cats are eldritch?
No, he is not an eldritch horror, Richter.
No, it actually makes a little bit of sense if you think about it, based on certain things that I have read.
Richter?
Yeah.
This small cat is not going to attempt to close a portal. I have just promised to protect him. And he's not, you're going to have to get over this. He is not some kind of otherworldly being.
Oh, I'm okay, going wait, to just so have to...
you think I'm as fragile as like a plate, and you think I'm the devil. Why don't we split the difference here and go, he's tiny but can be useful?
Well, yes, you're tiny, but your usefulness remains to be seen.
I don't know. I got to that last place before you.
Yeah, that was not useful to us. You tipped them off to our arrival, small cat.
Because I didn't want her to murder a good person. But Red said she wouldn't do that anymore. So I don't have to go ahead unless it's for sneaky, scouty purposes.
And you have to understand that just because somebody might look good, they are not good. Caddy.
Listen, you said if they were good, you weren't going to do bad things.
Exactly. So what are you going to do? Scratch the Eldritch Horn to death? I'm just trying to keep you...
I was clear. I can jump and I can sneak and I can steal things and I can find stuff. If there's a room and you want to know who's in it, I could go in instead of shooting the door.
Caddy, can you roll me a stealth check?
Yes, I can. That is a success.
As much as you want to protect him, Red, as you get closer to the town of Helmfirth, and you can see the sky turning sort of a darker crimson, creatures moving amongst the clouds, what seem to be just kind of like things fluttering through the air and flying around on insectoid wings. You start to realize that, like, this is definitely not going to be a two-person job. And as he moves, despite wanting to keep him safe, your instincts are overridden by your I mean, also your thief instincts. If you had a sentient cat, you could have stolen so much shit. And like, you don't like that that's where your brain goes, but it's just years and years and years of like always looking for the angle. And also, I think years and years and years of just having to contend with Addy bringing fucking like sprinkles along for things and being like, these cats are useless. But if they could unlock a door, that'd be so good. Yeah. Despite yourself, you start to see his value.
All right, Adrian, I'll make you a deal. You can scout and sneak and find things for us. But the second that there is any sort of monster to fight, I need you to get somewhere safe.
But what if I see something and it's the only way to stop the monster and you can't get to it because you're so big?
If we come across a monster that only you can get to for some reason, then have at it.
Okay, so we got like a trade promise. I'm going to trust you that when you hurt people, they're not good. And you're going to trust me that I'm not going to do something stupid and then die.
Deal.
And Grandpa, I love you. He just says and he pets Richter's face.
Richter like leans in conspiratorially to Red. He's like, I have read that cats only meow when around people. Wouldn't it make sense that some sort of eldritch being would just take it one step further and learn how to speak in a way that we can comprehend it as language?
Maybe I'm an eldritch whore, Richter. Have you thought about
Richter,
that?
And Richter like reads that as intended and just crosses his arms and sits back. He's like, fine. Vince, this ferocious feline beast turns and kills us all. I'll get to say I told you so before we all go mad.
Let's get to the church right meow.
That is when a body bounces off the hood of the car and cracks against the windshield. Leaving a bloody smear as you slam the brakes, Red. Richter?
A bloody smear from all the blood rain or new fresh from inside of a person?
New fresh blood. Fresh blood.
Okay.
Different
it's a gore. It's a gore spray on top of our blood rain.
Yeah. I'm sure the wipers are working real hard for us to see.
They are, yeah. But it's like 1930s wipers. So like real hard for them is like... Yeah. There's like a pulley system and a crank. You got to feed it with coal. It's a whole thing. You can see the church, like as you've been arguing and bickering, you've been paying very little attention to your surroundings. Ahead of you is where the church should be, or at least the general vicinity of where the church should be. Instead, there is a massive... think like if you see like when you're walking by a gas station, there's like gasoline on the ground and it's that kind of rainbow slick.
That shimmer.
Yeah. There's a massive bubble that's kind of got that slick shimmering sheen over the church where the church grounds should be. Inside, there's a curl of smoke and what looks to be almost bolts of lightning striking the sides and edges. And you think, if you squint through it, you can see a shape, a massive shape, crouched in the center, just sort of twitching and lurching as the lightning strikes it. And you get that same hollow feeling you did looking into the eyes of the Croatoan. It would seem that the creature is in the midst of being born, at which point a hand hits the top of the hood of the car and slowly kind of on shaky limbs, Richard Chen stands. He's covered in cuts and wounds, most of which definitely don't look like they came from your car. He's stripped down to his waist, with slashes all across his body, and looking kind of through the glass with glazed eyes, He just smiles and says, "Isn't it beautiful? It's just like I dreamed."
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra. And the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice. And on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the Mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Great Dane, Acrix, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you to the grim darkness of the 41st millennium in the Valentine Heresy, an actual play podcast set in the Genesis adaptation of Warhammer 40,000's Dark Heresy RPG. Newly promoted Inquisitor Lucius Valentine has received visions of the death of the immortal God Emperor. With few options before him, he teams up with hive-bred criminal siblings Lyric and Alto. Together, they must defeat a cabal of shadowy foes to save the Emperor and the Imperium. Can this trio of unlikely heroes survive in a galaxy where there is only war?
The Emperor is going to die in a year. My job is to make sure the Emperor doesn't die. Because if the Emperor dies, the Astronomicon goes out. And the only thing keeping the Imperium alive is the fact that we have a very large navy and a very large army and space marines, and they shoot everyone. It's delightful. Praise the Emperor. Thanks for that. But if the Astronomicon goes out, we have no navy, we have no ability to defend ourselves, and the Xenos and Chaos will overrun us instantly because there will be no defense.
So every planet will turn out like Galen's Glory?
And that would be the best case scenario. Which is why we need to keep the Emperor on his throne.
I spit in my palm and put my hand out for a handshake.
Am I supposed to do something in return? Is this... I'm sorry, I just don't know what this is.
Alto's like, yeah, like this. He spits in his hand and puts it out towards you as well.
Then I spit in both palms and shake their hands separately.
We have an inquisitorial band.
Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, available now.